mech suit up with us in a sequel that I doubt anyone asked for to a series that fewer have watched. Will the Asylum ever be able to make a blockbuster that's even a fraction as good as the film that they are aping? We'll find out along with us this week. This is Kaiju vs. History, Ape, Mecha Ape, New World Order.
Welcome back to Kaiju vs. History. This is your generic 3D ape model that came with the digital CGI software Miles. And joining me is now a mecha monkey with more film appearances than Mecha Kong, Patrick. Patrick, how you doing, bud?
It makes me sad, but Mecha Ape is technically in two full feature-length films, Miles. One more than Mecha Kong. I can't believe it. We're back. We are back looking at the 2024 sequel to, of course, Ape versus Mecha Ape, which came out just a year prior. That one was a really late entry in the Mockbuster series. But yeah, I'm really happy to announce currently, as we're recording this, this is the last Asylum Kaiju film that we officially have to watch for the podcast. We did it, Miles.
That's going to be true.
Well, it is true right now. We've watched, I think, 13 films, 12 other films besides this one from the studio. So this is lucky number 13.
Oh, boy.
13 terrible mockbusters. And we get to cap it off with a little cherry on this Sunday. That is Ape, Mecha Ape, New World Order. Surprisingly, it came out a week after Godzilla Kong New Empire. They're usually trying to drop it before the actual movie comes out.
Right.
They just missed that release window, I guess.
Well, before we get into what the Asylum holds for us this week, Patrick, tell us what is in a title.
Well, I don't know if you knew this, but it does take the blank X blank format from Godzilla Kong and, you know, uses it because the previous movie was Ape versus Mecha Ape, but this one they technically are teaming up, so they do have that right in the Mockbuster. But it takes the very unfun title, which was technically the original subtitle for Captain America 4 New World Order. And when they announced that for Captain America, people were like, that sounds like a Nazism, New World Order. So they changed it to Brave New World for Captain America. And that all happened before this movie came out. So they definitely just stole that title and was like, it's fine. No one's going to care about Ape, Mecha Ape, New World Order. But technically it works because there's like a secret government society in this movie that is looking to make changes to the world. Not a lot of other.
Oh boy. Yeah, there technically isn't there.
Technically, the Polish translation of this film is Monkey and Mecha Monkey. Which is Mecha Monkey is a great name, Miles.
There are a few Asylum movies that made me feel bad about some of the casting because it's like, oh yeah, they got so and so, it's this washed up TV actor, and then it's someone that, like, oh, this person like went through some stuff. We get Sean Young in this, most notably I would say from Blade Runner.
Oh yeah,
but an excellent actress in her own right, and had appeared in several big movies, and I mean, like, Dune, Ace Ventura as well. But it felt like Sean Young was doing like her worst Kathy Bates impression.
Well, so mean. I saw people's reviews of this film like calling out. It's like, oh, she needs to get on Ozempic. I was like, how about you just leave her alone? She's like,
no, it wasn't 70. that I was responding. It was her actual performance reminded me of someone trying to do like that lively Kathy Bates sort of like when she pops up in The Office, you know.
I felt so bad. It felt like also a Tom Sizemore situation because there were lines definitely that sounded like she had a stuffy nose, you know, and basically any actor or actress that lived through the 80s probably obliterated their nose with cocaine. But I mean, it's very possible she also just had a cold and they didn't care to rearrange her two shooting days on this film to deal with that. I love Sean Young. She's not winning any awards for her performance in this film, but she does a good job in her limited role here. There's definitely some line readings like about her niece's birthday party that's just like, oh boy, she's doing what she can with the dialogue that's on the page. It's not great, you know.
Yeah, the niece's birthday party line, I was like, especially when you find out like, oh yeah, this person's engineered everything, is yeah. Like what
I gotta get to my niece's last birthday party real quick.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, this is what, the third Ape movie?
This technically, yes, because we had Ape versus Monster, which was the first, and then Monster got destroyed, and it was just Ape and Mecha Ape in the second film. But holy free holy, Miles, we get Cthulhu in this movie, which
which kind of shocked me.
Hilarious, because they don't call it Cthulhu. What do they call it in this movie? Kalula?
Yes, like Kalulu. Like it's a real dumb name, but
K-U-L-A-U. It doesn't make a lot of sense because Cthulhu is like public domain at this point, right? I don't think.
I don't know if anyone at the Asylum knows that.
Well, they design a monster character that is very Cthulhu-esque, is kind of like...
Correct. I just don't know if they know that the rights for Cthulhu was, like, open.
Yeah, but, I mean, they make a monster here that is both a homage to the actual Cthulhu, and it's got its own kind of things going on, but it is a elder beast that has to have a ship full of people sacrificed to it to kind of awaken it. And it also goes through like a transformation in the movie. There's actually a lot of bits and bobs to the bad kaiju in this film.
There's a lot of bits and bobs this movie in general. I have to say, out of the three Ape movies that we had to watch, this is possibly the most watchable one.
I agree. Yeah. I mean, yes, it is definitely, because the first two, they're very bad. I
have to say, this is not that's not a ringing endorsement for this one. It's just, it's watchable.
Yes, surprisingly watchable. And I mean, normally I just skip over the favorite scenes in a film, because there's in an Asylum film, there's like nothing to latch onto here. It's usually like, oh yeah, my favorite part of this movie, this Asylum film, was the credits, because it meant that I could turn off the Tubi video that I was watching and go do something else. This one had some good elements to it, but
it likes actually, that one of the guys that was keeping tabs on Abraham, who is the giant ape, looks exactly like Tony Schiavone.
Yeah.
So the entire time I'm like, oh cool, they have Tony Schiavone, even with the sneakers, like calling out Abe's moves.
Yeah, Jared Rivett and Jessica de Bonneville play a couple of scientists basically on Skull Island, or, you know, the equivalent. I forget, it's named after just like a regular human. I forget what they call it in the film.
Oh, Watkins, right?
Watkins Island. Yeah, it's, I don't know who that's a reference to, but it is just an island out in the middle of the ocean. And yeah, this movie also has Mecha Kong rebuilt as a non-AI monster and more like a Jaeger or a, you know, mech suit kind of, which I enjoy.
I like quite a bit.
But boy howdy, the script for this movie is baffling, Miles.
Oh yeah.
Even amongst Asylum films, as I was watching it, I thought to myself, it's like, this feels like, did you ever see, there was a, I think it was a Ron Burgundy sequel movie that they super cut like all the alternate takes and like not bloopers, but like other the all the parts of the movie they cut out of the main film. They made a new film about it.
I think it was called The Legend of Ron Burgundy.
Yeah.
Yes, that came out in one of the releases of the DVD releases of the first film, because I used to have it.
I don't think I've ever seen the full thing, but
it is very different. Like it's like someone just took a movie and like, here's a completely different version of this movie. And
Wake Up Ron Burgundy is the name. Oh yeah, that was the first one.
Yeah, it is quite.
It's like all the subplots they cut out.
Yeah, but you're like, well, yeah, because I think the original movie was like 4 hours long because they just cut out so much crap because they just brought their friends along to do things. I do recommend watching it just because like it's more skits and stuff, but like it's not going to make the movie watching experience any better.
Well, anyway, I bring that up because this movie feels like all the B plot characters and story elements they cut out of like an actual kaiju film. Mm-hmm. Like the first 20 minutes is about the investigation into the disappearance of a cruise ship, which is our inciting incident. It's got to be important, right? But like we follow a reporter character that goes and interviews the cruise ship PR person. And it's like, why is this in the movie? Why are we dedicating any screen time to this? You know, right. Especially, well, I thought maybe that's going to be important because, you know, her mother was on that cruise randomly. I thought maybe the cruise ship was going to come back at some point. Like they were going to sacrifice them at the end. No, they were killed, right? They were all murdered off screen by Kalula. There's just so much wasted time in the beginning of this movie. I was like, why are we watching any of this happen? Especially when there's so many other characters to be following. You've got the ape, Abe. His name is Abe, right? Or Abraham. Yes. So annoying that the ape's name is Abe. You've got his handlers on Watkins Island. You've got the Japanese pilot for Mechakong. And then you have like the U.S. government where Sean Young is like a general, I think. So there's so many other characters to follow. I don't understand where these reporters are kind of like fitting into the story. It really feels like they should have been all. Everything they had in the movie left on the cutting room floor.
100%. Because their story just feels so... Their story eventually only serves to show that, like, oh, this is where the cult aspect comes from.
Yeah. And they tried to tie it into another movie because it was a character from one of the previous films that they only talk about. I don't think he's in the film, Dan Riggs.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's a little confusing. I do like we eventually get to a government conspiracy Cthulhu awakening plot in the film, but it's like 50 minutes into the film, 40 or 50 minutes. It's pretty far into its hour and 20 minute runtime.
By the time it actually like comes into fruition, it does so in the dumbest way. So it's like it kind of undercuts itself. It also like they're really bad at the end of the world.
Yeah, well, I mean, we get eventually like Sean Young's point of view of like why she was trying to stop Mechakong. It's like, okay, yeah, that makes sense. And like shut down Abe. But yeah, it seems like they could have been a little bit more proactive. And then towards the end, they just kind of peter out and Sean Young literally takes herself out of the movie. She's like, I think my character would shoot herself here.
Right.
And the quote, you know, kind of conspiracy, kind of that plot falls apart once Kalula is in the world. And we actually get, I would say, pretty amazing CGI for the asylum, you know, like compared to the other 12 movies we watched, the kind of in fight scene between Abe and Kalula looked good. You know, it's actual digital models that they, I'm sure, created or altered for this film, and fight scenes that like make sense and are longer than 1 second of like a punch or, you know, something like that. I do like that Mecha Ape is destroyed fairly early on, and then they're like miming to Abe to put on Mechakong like armor, so it's kind of they also have the beast glove upgrade in Godzilla X Kong. Mm-hmm. But he's just covered in really the dead body of Mecha Kong, which is kind of fun, but it allows him to do a similar power up thing. And actually, I do like the design of Mecha Ape. I do like the look.
The concept's not bad. I still think it looks terrible, but yes, you're not wrong.
But yeah, the end battle, pretty good. Is there parts of this movie that did make you perk up and kind of take notice? Anything you really did like or not hate?
No, I mean, that's the thing, is I didn't want it to sound like I was ringingly endorsing this movie, because like, it's just a watchable movie. Like that is the monochrome of success that we're judging Asylum movies by. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, no, not really. I didn't think any of the fights were that impressive. They were impressive in Asylum standards, but like, we have to understand that standard is still not very high at all. Like, we're already talking about the bottom of the barrel, and like, okay, cool, this is just not sludge, you know? Mm-hmm. So no, not really. I mean, yeah, there were some moments I laughed at, specifically when the reporters continually get to call people and they're talking to folks, but you can clearly hear the busy signal on the phone. Love that.
Oh boy, there's so many goofs and gaffes in these films.
Like, that's I appreciate more in these movies that I find than anything they actually do.
I think the drinking game to make for this movie is take a drink every time someone describes something that the director just showed to the audience. Like, it's like, oh no, Mecha Ape has released the monster. He doesn't have grip on the monster anymore. It's like, we just saw that. You don't have to describe it, have a character physically say it aloud. But they do that so much in this film.
They do. They certainly pad this movie.
There are not enough reviews of this film almost anywhere online to get, like, I don't think it has enough ratings on the popcorn website, but it has 2.7 on IMDb and 2.7 out of 10 on IMDb, which makes kind of sense, but a 2.6 out of 5 on Letterboxd, which is like 5 stars out of 10. Do you want to get to rating this yourself, Miles?
Yes.
I gotta say, I think I enjoyed this the most out of any of the Asylum films that we've watched. I had to go back and kind of like take a look through our our scoring of films in the past. I have colored them in our notes as brown. And just to go through them real quick, King of the Lost World was the first one. We gave a 3. Monster, the Cloverfield spoof, we gave a 2. Boy, howdy, that stunk. Then we had the 4 Mega Shark versus movies, all of them 3 or 4, pretty bad. Atlantic Rim 2, 4 out of 4, very bad. Mm-hmm. Monster Island, we gave the highest score, I think, to date there, which was a 5 out of 10. Yeah. And then we've had these 3, Ape versus Monster, Ape versus Mecha Ape, 2025, Armageddon as well. All pretty lowly rated. I gotta say, I enjoyed this one the most. I don't know if I can go as high as what I was originally thinking, but I'm giving this a 5 out of 10 for personal enjoyment. It was actually watchable, which is not something I could say about most of the Asylum films. Not terrible in any way. And the parts that was terrible in were kind of incredibly bad. It's what I've wanted from the movies. Like, they're so bad, it is kind of enjoyable to watch, if that makes sense. So what about you, Miles? You didn't sound happy when you were watching the film.
No. And while I do find this film to be pretty watchable in comparison, I'm not gonna go overboard with it. It was the most watchable of the 8 movies for sure, but I'm still not thrilled with this movie. It still has all the problems of an Asylum movie. It still doesn't look good. The designs overall aren't great. The acting is phoned in as usual. So like, the fact that this movie ends up being somewhat watchable is kind of a miracle in and of itself. But yeah, I certainly looked at my watch a little bit less than other Asylum movies, but yeah, I'm still giving it a 4. Like, it's not, it's still not good. It's just watchable. Like, if I were hungover on a Saturday or Sunday afternoon and this was on, my life wouldn't feel like it was losing its meaning. But yeah, like,
if it required getting up off the couch to find the remote control to change channel.
Correct.
I probably wouldn't. What about its technical elements? Where do you rate this as a...
Oh, I mean, it's your standard crap. Like, the designs aren't good. They haven't learned that much from the prior, like, CGI lessons they've had. Mm-hmm. The acting is certainly there. It's not as awful as it has been, but it's certainly not good. The script is probably the strongest element, which is what kind of elevates this movie. So, like, mm-hmm. it gets a 4. Again, ooh. we're talking about a low, low bar. What about you? Where are you on the technical aspects of this one?
Yeah, I'm giving it higher marks. I think the bad parts of the script were incredibly bad. Like, they were head scratching, but in a fun way. Like, I was actively thinking about the movie. Like, someone set out and wrote this, and it really feels like they were writing it kind of like as they were shooting. But yeah, I enjoyed it. I think it's fairly simple. They really kept going back to the same well of like, oh, we don't know if we're going to kill Abraham or not with this alien goop that we're going to inject him with. They did that a bit too many times. I think the acting was fine. The CGI, best in any Asylum movie that we've watched. So I'm giving it very high marks. I'm giving it 6 out of 10.
Wow.
6 out of 10. And you're going to pull your cap for its importance. Miles, this is the most important Asylum kaiju movie that we've reviewed thus far. And let me take you down a little road here. This actually does do its own thing. As much of a mockbuster as you want to say that is of Godzilla, Kong, New Empire, this doesn't have Godzilla monster in it like the previous film. And it has its own story and script and its own kaiju. And this is the only kaiju movie where we get to see a monkey punching Cthulhu in the face. This is getting the highest mark I think I've given an Asylum film for its importance. It's a 7 out of 10. Yeah.
Look, Cthulhuanology rides real high with me. It don't ride that high for this terrible of a movie. 3 out of 10. I don't need to like give any other reason. It's an Asylum movie. It's bad. No one's gonna ever care about this movie. It's a mockbuster to what a movie that it doesn't follow the plot in at all. In fact, it shares a plot with Godzilla King of the Monsters more than anything else.
Yeah,
with the
big monster
era. Yeah, but like this movie sucks. Like it's watchable. Well, I'll give it that. That's it. I'm sorry. No.
All right. Well, no. I thought we might elevate this one, but this is my highest marks for any Asylum. I have a Godzilla versus
Cthulhu poster on my wall. I get it, but no.
I think your favorite Asylum film is still Monster Island, which I gave a 4 to. You gave a 6 to. But this is my first 6, I want to say, because I don't think I rated any of the Mega Sharks that high. Maybe 5 was the highest. Well, I hope I'm not making a fool of myself now. But if I'm at a 6 and you're at a low 4, that means our podcast final 4 Ape Mecha Ape New World Order is a 5 out of 10. Asylum could not break out of more than 5 stars. 13 chances, opportunities to do anything that we would consider good, and it failed to do so, unfortunately. Oh, what a 5 out of 10 is kind of mixed feelings. I think 6 out of 10 is where we start to describe good. 7 out of 10 very good, and 8 out of 10 is what we consider great or above. So that is going to do it for Ape Mecha Ape. Miles, where can folks find us if they want to chat about kaiju stuff?
Well, they can email us at kaijuversushistory@gmail.com. They can post to us on our Blue Sky at Kaiju Versus History. They can go to our website, kaijuversushistory.com. They can rate and review our show, comment, share with their friends, let us know what you think. Check out our Letterboxd account, Kaiju Versus History, to see all our reviews and watch our list of films. And head on over to our sister podcast Discord. Go to cosmiccrit.com. There is a Kaiju Versus History channel there. And if you join up, you can talk to Patrick and I and our friends in real time, mostly talking about the newest kaiju announces or toy stuff. Toys and comics tends to come up a lot most recently, although we have been chatting about the supposed news of how Godzilla Kong Supernova is shaping up. So mm-hmm. Yes, come and talk to us. Patrick, what are we doing next week?
Thank you, Miles. We are going to come back next week, and you can catch us here as we examine an anime and manga series that's kind of taken the kaiju world by storm, one that pays homage to a lot of tokusatsu traditions in Japan and has already been given the very famous series or season recap movie treatment. So we're going to look at if this truncation is worthy of film status and theatrical release status. So find out along with us as we take a very brief look at the history versus Kaiju number 8, Mission Recon.